What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 34, Boston Needs Some Help, for October 24th, 2012. All right, so this is a Skype call, and we're supposed to be Skyping with Mary Spaulding, an athletic training student that is originally from the Boston or Maryland area. So far, she hasn't called in, so if you hear a real loud Skype ringing in sound, then that's what that will be. So we're trying out some new stuff on the live stream. So if you're watching there, we should be switching between camera angles, and Lori's going to be kind of playing with some stuff there. So if it just goes crazy and crashes, then we'll figure it out. We'll get it restarted. But we're recording, so you can always listen to the recording or check it out on YouTube if I upload it to there. But then it would probably just be audio if all the video stuff crashes. So if Mary jumps in, then you know I'll try and make sure it's not too loud, and if she doesn't, then we've got a couple different stories we can tell, and maybe it'll just be a shorter episode today. So, that being said, if you would like to comment, Leslie is on her first time as the Today's Meet moderator, so that's todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast. Again, that's todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast. If anytime you have a comment, you want to jump in that chat room, and then Leslie can either answer it there or she'll ask the question on the microphone, and then we can all figure out the answer. If you want to check out our live stream, check out any of the other information, you go to our website, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training. There's lots of stuff there for you to check out. All right, so without much further ado, we're going to get to our first warm-up topic. Oh, yeah. Put the introductions way down. All right, so of course, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and with me is...
Claudia.
Leslie.
Monica.
Karen.
Priscilla.
Kaylin.
Daisy.
And then, like I said, Lore is doing the live broadcast feed, and then Crystal and Suzette are taking pictures, because you know how we like to take pictures, high school girls, and then, of course, I look so good, you can't help but take pictures of me, so... That's what I'm here for, a good laugh. All right. Last week, we had some interesting news from one of our students. About 3 weeks ago, we started or finished doing the CPR testing, and then about 2 weeks ago, I think, one of our students, she was struggling with the CPR test, but she finally passed it. And then last week, Monica, one of my sports medicine students, she's not one of my athletic trainers, but she's a sports medicine student, actually had to perform CPR, and she said she wanted to go ahead and tell that story today. So again, if you have questions, you can type them in there for Leslie to ask her. Other than that, just hear Monica's story.
Well, how do I start this? Oh, I was in the shower, and then I got out. I hear my mom like crying, and then like I see my stepdad passed out on the ground in the living room. And then I run to him, and I checked. I was like, is he breathing? And then she says, no, he's not. And then I was like, just go call 911 or something. And then I just start. I did the 30, and she came back before. And I was like, just give him 2 breaths, because I didn't want to do it. And I didn't have, like, the face mask or whatever. So I told her to do it. And then I think I did that for, like, a couple more seconds. And by that time, they were already there, because we live, like, right down the street from the fire department. And they got there, and... And then they just started, and then I hear all the machines, and they told me go upstairs. I was like, okay. So I just sat there and on the stairway watching. And so then they did that for like 15 minutes, and then they just took him away for a while.
All right. So did you, when you said you did it for a couple of seconds, do you have any idea how long, how many cycles of CPR or any of that?
Maybe a minute or less.
And so your mom hadn't called 911 before you got...
No, like right when he passed out, she was like looking at him, and then she was about to go call, but like whenever I got there, she was already, I think she was calling or something, because I told her.
So it took the EMS like three minutes to get there?
Probably, I think.
So you had
it's like right down the street.
So you had to perform CPR for like about 2 minutes, maybe.
Maybe it didn't feel like that long though. Maybe I think.
All right, so I have never had to perform CPR. I've been CPR certified for approximately, 15, 16, I don't know, 18 years, something like that. And I have never once had to perform CPR. And so Monica, being a brand new CPR certified person, has already had more real life experience with CPR than me. And I honestly don't know what it's like in that moment of what do you do in that emergency situation. I've had kids unconscious, I've had broken femurs, but I've never once had somebody with a that was not breathing or did not have a pulse. So, and then it's for me, it's really cool that I was able to train you, but ultimately you said he did not make it correct.
No.
And so, I mean, I'm glad that you at least had the opportunity to do something instead of just stand there. And again, I'm sorry, and I have sympathy for you and your family. That I hope that you continue to heal and deal with the loss of your stepdad. So, Monica, thank you for sharing your story. All right. So, anything else? Anybody? Any other questions? I know she kind of told you guys this story. Anybody else have any questions or comments for Monica about the real life situation? What we're going to do is we're going to kind of ad lib it. Claudia said she has a little bit of a story for, right after we talked about splinting and we learned splinting, that she had a little experience with that. So, Claudia?
It's because we're at the hospital because of my mom. One of the tile things fell on her, like the top ones, and we had to take her to go get a head scan, I think. And like the patient next to us, I guess she had broken her foot, and like they were explaining to her what they were gonna do, and it's like they were gonna splint her foot or her ankle, and then I was like, oh, well, like we had learned that the day before, like 2 days before in class. I thought it was pretty cool.
Alright, so you said you were basically trying to be a creeper and watch what they were
doing. Yeah, basically, I was like, she was like, because there was nothing separating, it was like only the curtain. So I was like looking through the curtain and watching. Sorry.
No, that's a great way to learn things. I mean, there's sometimes I do little side jobs or whatever, and I will sometimes take my student trainers because, like at a volleyball tournament with, 3,000 volleyball players, you're gonna see a lot of injuries. You never know what you're gonna see, so it's a good chance to see and be exposed to injuries and stuff where you're gonna have to be taping or splinting or evaluating things that you might not see, right here, because you only see, 20, 30 people a day, whereas in that one day you see, 3,000 kids or whatever, or there's 3,000 athletes playing at that one facility. So it's a good way to learn. You just watch and be nosy, but don't be taking like pictures or videos or something and get arrested. So. All right, so it says Mary's logged into the Google Docs. I'm going to try and call her again. There we go. That was real loud. Mary, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
You're going to have to switch my head to this, though. Okay.
All right, so I can see your video, but we're not going to have video on this end because my webcams are hooked up to a different camera than my Skype computer. and so the live feed will have several different camera angles on. And I think if you were to try and watch the live feed, it might mess you up because it's one of those radio delay type things, I believe. So.
Well, I have that on mute, and I have this one on headphones, so I should be okay.
All right. Well, there you go. That'll work. Okay, so welcome. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let me give you a real quick introduction for our guest today. I don't actually know Mary. This is the first time I've ever talked to her. Met her on Skype. She, I think, listened to one of the episodes, and I was like, well, hey, what's your story kind of thing? And then she's like, well, I'd be happy to come in and talk sometime. So obviously, I think you're in Missouri right now?
I'm in Denver.
Denver, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there's several different colleges that you place. She wrote some of the stuff on the show notes.
Yeah.
So she's been around a little bit, so traveling to Houston for a podcast for 45 minutes is probably not an option. But she's currently a student, an athletic training student, Metropolitan State University of Denver. There you go. And this is your fourth year in the program?
Mm-hmm. So I'm a senior, so I'm taking my certification exam in January or February, depending on the dates.
All right, so in Denver or in Colorado, is there a licensing exam or is it just the national certification?
We just have the national certification, and I think they have licensing, but I haven't really been paying attention to that because I don't plan on working here. I'm planning on going back to the East Coast. So.
All right, so going back to the East Coast, in Texas here we have the licensing exam, but you have to be state licensed to work in Texas. Even if you're nationally licensed, you still have to have passed the state test. That's just how it is, and it's different, you know, each state. But anyways, let me tell you a little bit about, I think, can y'all hear an echo?
Yeah.
I think your speakers are echoing there or something like that, but it's okay. I think we'll deal with it. All right. All right, so Mary is originally from outside of Washington, D.C. in the Maryland suburbs, an accomplished triathlete. She's won several events, and you planning on going to Hawaii, Mary?
That's the goal at some point, but I have to qualify for it first, so we'll see. Maybe in like 10 years when I can actually afford it.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right, so we will kind of talk about the triathlete stuff. We just talked about one of the people with Ironman Sports Medicine Institute. She's a nutritionist she went to Hawaii for the Ironman Championships there. So, anyways.
Jealous.
Yeah, it's pretty good when your job pays for you to go to Hawaii for a week and just talk to people about food, huh?
Milk.
Yeah,
chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk is the best.
Okay, so without much further ado, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, where are you from, hometown, that kind of thing. You probably tell it a lot better than I would. So.
Yeah, so I'm from Rockville, Maryland, and I went to high school at the Academy of the Holy Cross, which is an all-girls school, probably about 10 minutes from where I grew up. And I've gone to Montgomery College, which is a community college back home, and Salisbury University. I went there for a year and realized I needed to be in a city. And that was also in Maryland, but that was about 3 hours from where I'm from and about a half an hour from the beach, which was a main draw, but that wasn't enough to keep me there. And then I decided to come out here to Denver. So now I go to MSU Denver, and I love it out here. It's a nice change, but it'll be good to get back east.
All right, so that's a lot of schools.
Yeah. But I finally figured out where I needed to be, so it all worked out.
How did you decide on becoming an athletic trainer?
So my junior year of high school, we had this huge project that we had to do for one of our religion classes, where we had to like do taxes and stuff and figure out what we wanted to do for a career, and I wanted to do PT, and that was a grad program, so I had to find something else to do for undergrad, and I was like, athletic training looks cool. And then I started interning with my high school athletic trainer and fell in love with it. And here I am, almost done.
All right. So up there where you in your high school, did y'all have like an athletic trainer that worked at the school, or did they work through a clinic? And so how did that work there?
They worked at our school. They were full time at our school. So, but we also had one assistant like in the fall because our athletic trainer was also the volleyball coach. So we had two in the fall and then one the rest of the year.
The athletic trainer was also the volleyball coach?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So, like I said, Mary's got a pretty interesting story. And so, Karen's got a question for you, Mary.
Can you tell us about your brain tumor?
Yep. So I found out that I had it after I was snowboarding in Vail, and I was at the bottom by the lift trying to slow down, and I hit a sticky patch of snow and crashed, and then I dislocated my shoulder, subluxed some ribs, and got a concussion. And the concussion was taking a really long time to get better from, and so I eventually went and saw a neurologist. And he did, like, all the neurological testing and stuff. And then decided that I needed an MRI because I was having some major speech retrieval issues and hypoglossal nerve involvement that no one caught before, even after having a CT scan 3 days after the crash because I was vomiting. And that's not a good sign after having a concussion and less than 72 hours later. But then they did the MRI and they saw it on the MRI and I had to go get another MRI with contrast and it just lit up like a Christmas light. So then I went and saw two surgeons back home, one at Hopkins and one at Children's National Medical Center. And they both agreed that I needed to have surgery to remove it. And it was either I could wait and watch it, but if it grew at all, then I would have to have emergency surgery. So I was like, I'm just going to do it this summer and get it over with. So I had surgery that summer in June, at the beginning of June, to repair the torn capsule from the dislocation and the torn labrum. And then 3 weeks later, I had surgery to remove the tumor. And it was a grade 1 cerebellar juvenile pilocytic astrocytoma. So completely benign, one of those ones that if they do get it all, it's pretty much cured. But I still have to get follow-up MRIs every year now. But they've all been clean so far. So.
All right, so now I'm looking for a volunteer to repeat the name of the thing that she just said. Something, I don't even, that's astrolytic, I don't even know. Anybody? Anybody takers? Takers?
No.
Come on, somebody can do it. All right, so that was a huge, huge word. All right, so from just snowboarding, a concussion leading to a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
I would not
but
have.
They've... Go ahead.
I said I would have not have figured that. I would have, I mean, I guess usually you just think of brain tumors just occurring randomly, but.
Well, I had already had it. In high school, because they did a CT scan when I was in high school because I was having migraines all the time, but they missed it because it looked just like a shadow in the CT scan. So I've had it. They just happened to find it at because I got an MRI because my concussion wasn't getting better.
Gotcha.
So pretty lucky that I got that concussion.
Migraines can cause that?
She, one of my students asked the... She said migraines can cause the...
No, that can cause a migraine.
Oh, yeah, the tumor can cause a migraine?
Yeah, they can. They can cause all sorts of weird symptoms, depending on where it is in your brain. So because mine was in my cerebellum, I was starting... Even before I crashed, I had been starting to have balance problems, and I was hitting my head on everything because I just couldn't... I didn't have that perception of where my body was in space anymore. So I was... It would have... been found eventually because my balance probably would have gotten so bad. But then other tumors will like affect your personality or memory, so just depends on its location.
All right, so is that something that is going to I guess affect you later on, like as you continue? Have you had any symptoms since you've had that taken care of as far as, like, balance and any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, actually, this summer I started having balance problems again. So my neurosurgeon ordered another MRI, but everything was still clear, so they weren't sure why I was having any issues because it got better after the surgery, even without – I didn't do any physical therapy to get my balance back. It just kind of came back as soon as they took the tumor out.
All right. Very cool. All right, so I'm looking at you live. Are you sitting in your dorm room there at college? Are you in an apartment?
Yeah, I'm in my apartment.
Did you clean up before?
I did.
So, yes, just, I don't think yet. So your picture, your dorm room won't be on the YouTube and all that stuff. So just in case you're wondering, but me and my students can see you because I have you on the projector and I can see you on my monitor, so.
Yeah.
All right. So if we have any more questions about that, we'll come back to it. But
who encouraged you to become an athletic trainer?
Well, once I started interning at my high school athletic trainer was a huge influence on me continuing this because it was definitely not easy once I got in the program to stick with it. And my parents have been a huge, huge factor in it also. Anytime I've wanted to give up, they've just been like, you can do it. Like, you know you love this and you're really good at it, so you just have to keep working hard and it'll all pay off. And actually also my mentor, who's also an athletic trainer and a PT, has been a huge factor and always there being like, you can do it. So it's definitely makes a huge difference having people there to support you through such a tough program, because it's not like any other college major where you just go to class and then you're done with school after you're done with class for the day. Like, we have to still go and do our clinicals, so it's not easy.
All right, so then tell us a little bit about your typical schedule there.
So this semester is kind of weird because I'm not doing a clinical rotation, but generally when I do have a clinical rotation, we have class Monday through Thursday, and we have 6:30 a.m. classes for our major because there's so many kids on campus. And so I'll go to class and we have...
Those 6:30 classes, are they just for the athletic training students or...?
Yeah, just athletic training. Gotcha. And then I'll go home for a couple hours, eat, make a snack for later. And then we do most of our clinical rotations at high schools in the Denver metro area, which is something unique about our program. Most schools, you're doing your internship at the college with the college teams, but we have so many people in our program and so few sports that we do high schools. So we'll go to the high school at like 2:30, depending on when they get out of school. And then we're there until their sports are done for the night. And then we do that Monday through Saturday, generally. And then go home and work on more homework.
All right. Sounds like a very busy day. It's possibly more busy than mine, as because you're doing kind of the same job as me. However, you're still having to go do studying and homework and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and we spend a lot of time driving.
How far is your school from your university from your high school?
It just depends on the school you get assigned to. So sometimes I've had internships where it takes me 6 minutes to drive there from my apartment, and then other times where it takes me 45 minutes to an hour. So
that's a pretty good drive.
Yeah.
All right, so now you're living, of course, you grew up in Maryland, so you're used to like snow and cold weather, right?
We actually don't get that much snow. That's why I moved out here. I love the snow, but I do know how to drive in the snow, so it's not too bad, but I am used to the cold weather. So.
Gotcha. So that wasn't a huge adjustment going from to Denver. Like if I went to Denver, I mean, if there's ice on the road here in Houston, we shut down school. I'm serious.
Yeah. Oh, that's how it is at home too. It was awesome. We used to get off of school for like an inch of snow.
Really? I would not have expected that, man.
Yeah.
On the Upper East Coast. So.
Does she miss home? Do you
miss home. It's hard being so far away, and flights are so expensive that, like, when they're family events, I don't get to go to them because I'm here. So that's another reason for moving back east after graduation.
All right, so real quick, what is the name of your high school athletic trainer, and are they still there?
His name is Ricky, and I cannot pronounce his last name still to save my life, so I'm not going to even try. It's very long, and he is still there, so...
All right, so Ricky, good job. Thanks for, you know, encouraging Mary and sending her towards the athletic training profession, whatever your last name is.
What sports have you worked with?
I've worked with pretty much everything except for, I think hockey is the only big one I haven't worked with yet, but football, soccer, field hockey, swimming, cross country, softball, basketball, volleyball. Ultimate Frisbee is probably the only weird one that I've worked with. Lacrosse, basketball, or baseball, track and field, tennis, wrestling, and cheerleading.
So you worked with all those in college or in between college and high school?
Yeah. So most of them, like football, I've done in college working. I've did with the college team at the school I used to go to, and also with the high school teams in the Denver area.
Just
no,
what?
Never mind.
All right. Caitlin was trying to ask me something on the slide, but I guess she doesn't realize that there's like two webcams pointed at her, so
oh,
everyone's seeing.
The second one. Who's, there's no name.
Oh, I already asked that one.
Oh.
That's why I asked it, so there was so we didn't have to do this right here.
Sorry.
That's all right. Hey, good, though. I'm glad that you're kind of following along.
Sorry.
All right, so, Mary, when I was in college at Houston Baptist University, I was, like, the baseball trainer for 2 years. So if baseball had practice, I was there. If baseball had a game, I went with them. Or I set up and, you know, was there for the game and took down and all that stuff. Is that kind of how you've gone through your program there?
If you're an upperclassman for us, so if you're a junior or senior, you get assigned to one of the sports at our college, and you'll do that same thing. So you go to all of their practices, all of their games. But for the most part, there's only one person assigned to each sport, so only, I think, like 5 to 10 people a school year are doing that. And I'm actually not very interested in doing collegiate, so I don't even know if I'm going to end up having one of those rotations, which either way I'm fine with. It's just kind of the luck of the draw on how the way our program does it is they assign you to your clinical rotations based on like your personality and how well you would get along with the athletic trainer, so that everyone always has a good experience and you get the experience that you want and that you need for what you want to do in the future.
All right. Yes. At HBU, I was baseball for 2 years and then volleyball for a year and then men's basketball for 2 years. But we only had, it was a internship program, and we only had 5 student trainers and we had 5 sports. So it was pretty much you got one student trainer for the sport and then that was it. So.
Yeah.
What is
that
your
was before. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. What is your plan after college?
So after college, I'm planning on going back east. I really want to go to med school, so I'm planning on doing a post-bac pre-med program, but if I do it, whether or not I do it this year or right after graduation or waiting a year, we'll see where I get in and what job opportunities I get. But then working for a little bit and taking the MCATs and applying to med school.
That's lots of school.
Yeah, it is a lot of school. But sometimes, even though I'm not the biggest fan of school, I know it's what I have to do in order to do everything I want to do. So it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what happened to the physical therapy plan?
I've just been flip-flopping between that and med school for about 3 or 4 years. I just realized that PT, I didn't really want to be just doing rehab all the time. I really like surgery, so that's just what made me decide to do med school instead.
Nice. So have you been in and seen surgeries, like go to the, you know, surgeries with your athletes and stuff like that, or is it just...
Not yet, but I'm always, like, looking them up online and watching them online or watching, like, the medical shows that they have on TV, and I can sit there and eat and watch them, like, cutting someone open or suturing and stuff, so.
I'm sure in just a second you'll see the ugly faces some of the girls are making, like, oh, that's nasty. But, hey, that's kind of what you have to be able to take to do that stuff, right?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how I react when I'm actually in an OR, because I know the sounds and the smells get to you more than necessarily watching it. So it'll be... We'll see if I still like it after I go watch it, but I think I will.
All right, so
it's just so cool.
So at HBU, we didn't have cadaver labs because it's a private college. Do y'all have cadavers there?
We do, but to get into cadaver anatomy is very difficult unless you're a bio major.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And so you're not having to do biology major stuff right now, right? Because I know for pre-med, it's
no.
A lot of biology and chemistry stuff.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to do a post-bac pre-med program, because then I'll get all of that just in 1 year. So.
Gotcha.
What's the best part of being an athletic trainer?
Seeing your athletes return to play after you've spent weeks with them, like, rehabbing and, like, getting them confident in their ability to play again. Because a huge thing after a big injury, especially, is just having confidence that that injured part is going to actually hold up when you're playing and you're not going to hurt it again. So that's one of the biggest, best parts, I think, of it. And then one of the coolest things I've been able to experience is I actually interned with Washington Freedom, which was a women's pro soccer team back east. And there were a lot of Olympians on that team from, there was one from Japan, one from France, Canada, a bunch from the U.S., and one from Australia. So watching the Olympics this summer was really cool, knowing people on every single team that got a medal for women's soccer. So that was definitely one of the coolest things I've ever gotten to experience.
So you knew the people that were on?
Mm-hmm.
I think the echo is from me. I have speakers. Yeah, I think that's what it was. The echo earlier was going to have speakers in the ceiling, and so it's kind of playing that, and so then the microphones are picking that back up. So then I turned it up so that one of my students could hear, because we have the students in the background there, but turn it up too loud, then it's picking it back up and refeeding it. That's why. So we're trying out lots of new things. Sorry for the a little bit of randomness there. And especially if you're watching the live stream, I've been a little, you know, troubleshooting, so. Okay.
Okay.
We are with Monica again.
What's the worst part of athletic training?
Probably the crazy amount of time we spend just between class and our rotations and doing homework, because the workload is insane and you're trying to get all so much information remembered and applied in such a short amount of time that it's really hard to just take a day and just like relax and let your brain just kind of decompress, and just not being able to be a quote unquote normal college student is hard, especially when you live with other people who are not in your major and they're always going out and you just want to go out so bad, but you know that if you do, then you're not going to get all your homework done and stuff. So that's one of the things I miss a lot. But when you keep in mind that all that hard work is really going to be worth it when you graduate and you're going to be able to get a job and like love what you do, it's, you can't really put a price on that. And those few experiences you miss are, it's worth it in the end.
See, I need to start writing stuff down. I was thinking it was a good question. Oh, I know it is. I have a few. I was talking about three of my student trainers yesterday at football practice, and they were talking about they were interested in working with the professional sports team, which right now our professional football team is like top of the league, the Houston Texans. Yep. And so they were saying, you know, I want to work with, you know, the Texans or professional sports. Do you have any interest in, or have you ever had interest in being an athletic trainer for a professional sports team?
I did have interest in working for a professional sports team, but now that I've been in the field longer, I realize that's not what I want to do. I don't want to be working 7 days a week for 16 hours a day each day. So that's, it's just not something that appeals to me, like leaving all the time. Like I like traveling and stuff, but having to go somewhere different every single weekend, I think would really start to drive me crazy.
All right, so you're kind of in the position where if you wanted to work with a professional sports team, how difficult would it be for you to get involved with professional football or professional baseball, basically like a guy-dominated sport?
It would be very difficult. Right now there's only one female athletic trainer in the entire NFL, and she works for Pittsburgh, I believe. So the best way to get in is to be able to get one of their internships that they have and get your foot in the door and get your name out there. And baseball also has internship opportunities also, but I don't know of any female athletic trainers in baseball. So that would be, it's a good goal, and I think it's going to become more common because the field is becoming more female. There are a lot more females going into the profession. But I think it's still going to take time for some, especially some of the good old school people, to kind of accept that we know what we're doing and can handle being in that situation.
Yeah, I know that our Houston Rockets had a trainer. I think her name was Missy Leggett. She was the head athletic trainer for the Houston Rockets for a little while, but now there's a man doing it. I don't know, you know, what the reason for any of that was, but so I think maybe basketball is possibly more common.
It might be. I've never looked into NBA because I was never interested in doing NBA, but I did look into NFL and MLB. So.
Wow. Very convenient that I asked that then.
Yeah.
So hopefully Daisy was actually one of the students that was sitting there asking about that question. And so I wanted to get your perspective on that since there's probably nobody better than a college senior.
Never mind.
So.
Never mind.
You said never mind?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't want to work that much each day.
I did an internship with the Houston Texans, and training camp was ridiculous. I was telling them, you know, we'd get there at 6:30 in the morning and leave like at 10 o'clock at night for a month straight, no matter what day it was. And it's just,
Yeah. It's
not what you think it is until, you know, you get there and you experience it, so.
I did really like working with women's pro soccer, though, but it wasn't as crazy of schedule. I think they were much better at being balanced outside of just you're there all day long. Like we'd be there probably from 8 or 9 in the morning to maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on what time they had practice. So
is that during, do they have like a training camp or was that during just like their regular practice type season?
They did have training camp and that was actually in March. So I was still taking class, so I didn't help them with training camp. But as soon as like midterms were over, I started going straight from school to the soccer field to go intern every day.
Gotcha. I know how that works.
So. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
In 10 years, I will finally be done med school. So hopefully I'll be in the middle of residency for either neurosurgery or oncology. Just depends on what really gets more of my interest throughout med school.
All right, and so it sounds like both of those are pretty spurred on by your life experience, neurosurgery and oncology.
Yeah.
Both.
They definitely are. So throughout, like, finding out that I had a brain tumor and being the age that I am, so I was 21 when I found out. So you're on that edge of being in peds, but not yet being in the adult neurosurgery clinics. So it was really frustrating just because I wanted to be like with kids my age or like people my age. And I don't know anybody my age who's had a brain tumor or has been in the same similar situation that I've been in. And there's just been so little gains in survival rates for young adults that it's just really encouraged me to kind of go to med school to focus on that age group to help kind of help them out because I know what it's like to be in that situation and it sucks not being like so in the middle and not having a doctor that specializes in your age group.
So. That's a pretty good motivation there. And
yeah,
the more we do this, the more I hear people that have, you know, they got injured and they went to a chiropractor and so they became a chiropractor. They got injured and went to a physical therapist, became a physical therapist. And that's kind of what you're saying again is, you know, just your life experience is really leading you to the path of, you know, the career that you're going to choose.
Yeah. And it's the same for me with athletic training. I was hurt all the time in high school. So I was always in the athletic training room getting treated. So definitely spurred that one on too.
Well, this basically answers the question. Have you ever been treated by another expert or athletic trainer?
I have been. So I've been treated by the athletic trainer at my high school. And then I went to physical therapy starting my senior year to finally get everything under control because my knees were just miserable all the time. So I started doing PT, and one of the PTs I've worked with was also an athletic trainer. And she's also now my mentor, and I interned with her because she worked with Washington Freedom's W League team, so their amateur team. So I've definitely been treated by my fair share of physical therapists.
Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
I think one big thing is to always wear a helmet. Because when I got my concussion, I was wearing a helmet, and that probably, if not, kept my concussion from being way worse than it was, if not possibly saving my life. So I am definitely a huge proponent of wearing your helmet, no matter how stupid you think you look, because I'll be riding my bike out on the trails here, and I'll see people riding without a helmet, and then I pass them, and they've got their helmet, like, on their handlebars. And I'm like, really? If you've got it with you, you might as well wear it, because you never know. You may think you can control, like, when you're going to fall and stuff, but you can't control what other people are going to do, and that's when you tend to get hurt. So that's my big thing, is wear a helmet.
I like that. I would have never worn a helmet when I was, you know, in high school or even in college. And it wasn't until, like, I have two kids, so I ride my bike to work sometimes, and I was like, if I'm going to be riding on the streets, I need a helmet, because if I fall, I need to be able to, you know, protect myself, because I have people to take care of. And I've told this story once before. I was riding through a field with my son on the back. He's in a bike seat, and we hit a pothole, and before I know it, my face is hitting the ground, like hitting my handlebars on the ground, and he's flipping over, but like my helmet hit, and so it shifted a little bit and reduced the blow to my head. Otherwise, I mean, my son might have been laying, you know, on his side in a carrier with me unconscious if I hadn't been wearing a helmet. I mean, you never know, but...
Yeah, and especially like snowboarding too. I see people all the time not wearing helmets, and I'm like, if you crash, that's pretty much the same as you crashing on cement sometimes. I mean, here it's a little different because a lot of times there's powder, but it still hurts when you fall and when you hit your head. So.
Definitely. Definitely. So wear your helmet, even if you look silly, on your bike, and especially if you're like off-road where it's, you know, a higher possibility of you falling. Of course, snowboarding is not really an option down here. Maybe wakeboarding, but I don't think people wear helmets for wakeboarding.
No, although they probably should, because I went wakeboarding this summer and I definitely face planted. So.
Yep. That hurts. I've done that. So. All right. Well, very cool. Any other questions for Miss Mary Spaulding?
Nope. What's the worst thing you've seen during the athletic training?
The worst thing I've seen is a girl was doing jumps on a plyo box, and she hit it with her shin, and it totally gashed open her leg, and you could see her bone, you could see her muscle. It was a pretty gross one. And we've also had, I've seen compartment syndrome. We've had a kid who got a T7 anterior wedge compression fracture in football that we couldn't tell was fractured because it was on the inside part of his spine and not on the back, so we couldn't palpate it. So that's one of the crazier ones I've seen, I'd say.
Ouch.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it, yeah.
Anybody else? No? All right, well, Mary, you can hang on and listen to the rest of the closing out thing, or you can hang up. It's up to you.
I'll hang on. Why not?
All right. All right, so we are about to wrap it up. Of course, there's certain people we always want to thank. Pasadena ISD Education Foundation, because now we have, three different webcams. And if you're watching the live stream, then Lorena has been playing around with the video switching software. And so most of this equipment has come through the Education Foundation, some of it through Donors Choose and friends like Dr. Amber Cole, a physical therapist, that donated to provide one of the extra webcams so that we can do cooler things like this and provide a better experience all around. So Memorial Hermann continues to support us and those kind of things. And then the new software that I'm using is Minicam. It allows you to switch between webcams and stuff like that. And I got that from Mark Cockrell from Element OP Productions. So I just email him all the time, and he sends me stuff. So if you're looking to do a podcast, check him out, Mark Cockrell at Element OP Productions. So again, he does that stuff for me for free, and so I just want to continue to support and promote him. I'm going to go ahead and echo Mary's words of wisdom. There is wear a helmet. So if you're doing something where you can crash, just protect your head. There's no reason not to. All right, so I'd rather look silly than spend my life in a coma or something like that. So, all right, if you want to contact us, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic training, and then all the links for everything are on the side there. And then just about every Wednesday, we have the live stream, which is on Ustream. And then you can join in the conversation via the Today's Meet, which is also linked to or linked on our website. So go to our website and check all that stuff out.
And follow us on Twitter. It's at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus PHS Athletic Training, or Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training, or the office phone, which is 713-740-0312, extension 01312.
And then I haven't even checked if the app still works. Does it still work, Leslie?
I think it does. All right. I'm not sure. I haven't checked.
So there's the app there. It's an easier way to listen to the podcast if you really want to, but it's also on all sorts of other things like Stitcher and Podfeed and all this other stuff. So if you want to, I just Googled it today, sports and medicine broadcast, and it was like the top 10 things there because of the different sites that it's on. So if you want to listen to it, Google it. But if you're already listening to it, you probably already know where to find it. So pointless, I guess. All right. So for Jeremy,
Claudia,
Leslie,
Monica,
Karen,
Priscilla,
Caitlin,
Daisy,
the rest of the sports medicine class, and Mary, that's a wrap.